For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. The Vic Porcelli Show.
Let's go, let's go, let's go. Good morning, freedom lovers. Ken, oh my God. I am fired the...
Yes, you are.
Up.
Don't you cuss on this here radio.
Almost, Bandit, almost. Good morning, Ken. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Vic.
Are you pissed?
Oh.
Are you feeling vindicated?
Yeah, very much so.
Me too. Cats in the Hat's feeling vindicated?
I looked
vindicated?
Over my shoulder and saw with my two eyes a cat in a hat. What a pleasant surprise.
Are you ready to start the show?
Yeah.
Let's start.
Hi. Good night, everybody.
All right, let's go.
We're ready.
Ken, let me tell you something. Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, Saturday night I was sick. I missed our Christmas party, which broke my heart. Okay? There's nothing more fun than hanging out with the people at this radio station. And for a Christmas party, it's even better. Saturday, I really started to feel like you looked last week.
Yeah, I feel horrible that I probably gave it to you.
That's okay. And I took my temperature just in case. If I didn't have a temperature, I would have went to the party, but I didn't want to get you guys sick.
See, I didn't get a temperature ever.
I did. It was like, you know, 100.7 or it was a mild grade fever, but it still could have got you guys sick.
Yeah.
So I didn't go to the Christmas party, which broke my heart. And yesterday felt terrible all day. Today I woke up. I feel worse. I feel terrible. No fever. No COVID. Stuck the things up my nose and no fever, but I feel really lousy today. If it weren't for this story, I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be home.
Okay.
Getting medicated and taken care of by my nurse wife. You know how like men get sick? It's like
heck
the worst thing that's ever happened. Honey, I don't deal good. So let's get into it. First of all, what's coming up today? Oh, good question. Kamala Lala coming up at 9:25 today. Mark Mix, he is the president of the National Right to Work Committee. He's always a great conversation. Virginia Cruda. Hold on. There's going to be a lot of that today. Sorry. From the Daily Wire. We're going to give away our first, I know you guys did one in the morning, but our first winner in the Christmas contest.
Yes, yes.
The contest, the conservative Christmas contest. That's coming up at, you know, 10:05 or whatever.
Vic, I love giving stuff away.
Me too, man.
Especially if it's not ours that we don't own.
You bet. No money coming out of my pocket. I'm all about it. And Douglas Blair from Salem Media. We'll talk to him about this whole thing too. But the good John Cooper kicks us off every Monday from the Heritage Foundation. John, how are you?
Hey, doing all right. This weekend was too short, but at least we got some good college football championship games.
Yeah.
And I agree.
We talked to Ken Cuccinelli. You remember him? He was the assistant acting director of Homeland Security under Donald Trump. We talked to him on Friday, and they said that the RNC placed a whole bunch of ads during that SEC championship game with Georgia. So the TV was flooded with Herschel Walker during that game when everybody was watching.
Yeah, you got to feel bad for especially Georgians right now because they have been deluged by the ads for the last however long now, and
right.
Of course they had the runoff 2 years ago. So I think after this, we need to throw some prayers up for all of them down there.
Well, you know what? It's their own fault for rigging an election. Don't rig the election; everything will be fine. Okay, so Friday, the Twitter files drop, the Matt Taibbi story. Right. And the way he released it was weird. It was on Twitter in this long thread, like a 24.
I think it's 36.
36 piece thread. And the things we learned, John, everything we said was right. Everything Donald Trump said was right. And they owe us a great big apology.
Well, this seems to be the trend, right? Where people on the right point out, raise awareness, try to highlight something that looks wrong, that looks shady, that looks suspicious. They're silenced by the left. They're ridiculed by the left and their allies in the media. But I repeat myself, except for you guys, of course.
Of course.
And, you know, ultimately, whether it's 6 weeks later or 6 months or a couple of years, the right always tends to end up getting vindicated, and you know there's often no recourse for that. I think maybe in this case that might be a little different with Elon running things at Twitter and Republicans running things in the House in terms of oversight. But you know this happens over and over again, and every time it's kind of like with the Russia collusion, you know, false narrative that we were subjected to for 4 years. That you know you get these big scoops. Oh, it's the end for Donald Trump, and then you know 5 hours later. Oh, we had to print this retraction or this clarification that actually completely changes the newsworthiness of what we reported, and it doesn't actually mean anything.
And by the way,
so it's a steady pattern on the left and in the media.
That retraction will be on page 37 near the classifieds and the help wanted.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Right. So when Taibbi released all this, I read it all, and I tried to keep up with the, you know, computer jargon and stuff and what was going on, but basically people are saying that tweets went out, and or not tweets, but emails went out, and then after they were fixed and taken off and censored, done was how they were. Well, it wasn't done. Handled. It was handled. So
right.
Now people are saying that this story is something that I think maybe I've been saying it. Ken has been saying it since we've been on the air here, since July 19th, 2021, that something needs to change. There needs to be something to corral the corrupt mainstream media, because this is one they just should not be able to get away with, John.
No, they shouldn't. And I saw somebody tweeted this morning, and it was a great reminder that when Leslie Stahl from 60 Minutes of all programs, you know, supposed to be this great in-depth investigative program on a major network news station on CBS, sat down with Donald Trump a couple of years ago in the election during the campaign, and he brought up the Hunter Biden laptop story. She said, "Oh, well, that can't possibly be verified." And he's like, "Well, why can't it be verified?" And she said, "Well, it just can't be verified." I wonder who could actually do that, who could put forward the resources and the time and the expertise to figure out if it could be verified. I don't know, maybe 60 Minutes, you know, but they didn't care about this story because it threatened their preferred political candidate. And I think even if there's no government mechanism to hold people accountable in the media for you know, it's kind of squashing the story and suppressing the story along with their allies in big tech, I think the American people just steadily need to keep punishing them through their decisions that they make, you know, what kind of news they consume, what websites they visit. You know, there's a lot of alternatives to CBS and kind of the corrupt corporate media that people can take advantage of. And thankfully those options are growing by the day. If you really want to hit them where it hurts, that's where you do it, because ultimately they're driven by ideology, but they're also driven by money. And if you take away the source of revenue, that's going to hurt them.
Yep. All right, let's go back and relive what you're talking about, Leslie Stahl and Donald Trump on 60 Minutes.
You know, this is 60 Minutes, and we can't put on things we can't verify.
You won't put it on because it's bad for Biden.
We can't things we can't verify.
Leslie, they spied on my campaign.
Well, we can't verify
it. It's been totally verified.
No.
So, if anybody in America right now owes Donald Trump an apology, it's Leslie Stahl.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? This is 60 Minutes. Like, now, when you say this is 60 Minutes, our response should be, yeah, and why? You know, you guys are corrupt, and you'll always be corrupt. But so many people, John, here's my thing, and I've been saying this forever, okay? People get caught into that Hollywood, Trump is a terrible person thing, orange man bad syndrome, and even news outlets like 60 Minutes fell into it because she was not going to hear from him and let him speak about what was true that we found out.
Well, right. I mean, 60 Minutes, more like 60 seconds. If that's the best that you can bring to, well, it's not been verified. It's not been verified. Again, I repeat myself, but who in the hell can verify it other than you guys? I mean, there's government agencies that can do that. But fundamentally, the media and people like Miranda Devine from the New York Post did verify this. Like, they dove into this. They actually did journalism. You know, shocking that journalists would actually do journalism. Dove into it and got the truth and published books about it. I mean, they went to the source. They got the info. They proved, you know, fundamentally what we ended up seeing was true. And if, you know, if people forget, over the last couple of months, you know, the New York Times, I think the Washington Post was the most recent one, all had come out and said, yeah, so it was actually, the laptop was, you know, real and everything that was there was verified, you know, well, thanks for coming to the party a little bit too late on that one, guys. I mean, the media could have done that in a very quick fashion. They could have done it in a matter of weeks, a matter of months even. But no, they sat on it because it would have hurt Joe Biden. I mean, there was a poll that was taken right after the election that I think 1 out of 5 Biden voters would have considered changing their vote if they had seen the Hunter Biden laptop story. I mean, that is actual election interference.
And it cost Donald Trump the election. Over the weekend, on Sundays, we play Jason Chaffetz's show called Jason in the House. And his guest was Brent Bozell. And they did a poll. Brent Bozell's team did a poll. And 40% of people who voted for Biden said they didn't know about that story. Out of those, I think it was 20% of the entire sample said they wouldn't have voted for him. Listen now, they didn't say that they would have voted for Trump. They just wouldn't have voted for Biden. So that number that you always talk about, Ken, that 16%, this was a little bit higher than what you had, which is, you know, even more to your point.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't have voted for Biden. And then the swing really is 40%, because who are they going to vote for? They're going to vote for Trump.
Yeah.
Or not vote.
Who doesn't want to vote? Yeah.
In that election, that 2020 election. So what do you think about that, John? First of all, the Brent Bozell stats.
Right. I mean, and that's right. I think you mentioned the same poll that I was just referring to that got a lot of traction. I think it was a couple of months after the election in 2020 it was released, and they wanted to know what would Biden voters have done if they had actually had access to this information, that if it hadn't been suppressed by the media, by big tech, on Facebook, on Twitter, all the things. Right. But fundamentally, it goes to, you know, we live in a representative, you know, constitutional republic where people elect representatives to represent them, obviously. And to do that and to make decisions that you think are best for your family, okay, this person is going to represent me in a way that's good for me, for my family, they're going to represent the right policies and push the right policies. You need to have as much information as possible to make an informed decision. And when you have gatekeepers at big tech and in the media and frankly in the federal government that are conspiring to keep that information from the public, it's not conspiracy theorism. It's not paranoia. It's all black and white now. We actually see it. But it's just common sense to say no one should be censoring this information and keeping people from seeing it. And I think what you see with those shocking stats, I mean, 40% of Biden voters not seeing the info. I mean, half of the people who voted for Joe Biden, 35, 40 million, I don't remember the exact number, but that many people not knowing that story existed is incredible. And it shows how devastating these major institutions, big tech, the media, can be in wielding their influence for the political causes that they support.
Hey, Vic and John, listener Courtney, she had a great point. She said Psaki to me even announced during the press conference stating that they are keeping track of posts and reporting them. They, as in the Biden regime, she says, reported to the social media platforms of posts they did not agree with. Oh, somebody move that. Okay. Did not agree with and had them deleted, which immediately turned them into an editor and not a publisher. Every social media platform that was included in this, she said, have Section 230 protection revoked, and the revocation should be backdated. What do you think about that?
Right. Well, that goes to show how our tech laws, you know, are so outdated. I mean, Section 230 was written kind of at the dawn of the internet. I mean, it's an old law that needs revamping. Heritage, actually, we put out a great, you know, report on this. We put out a couple, actually, that you can check out at heritage.org, but kind of showing how you can keep the good parts of Section 230, but update it so that tech companies don't get to hide behind kind of arbitrary definitions of, you know, editor versus forum and all these kinds of things. But really, the scariest part of this is kind of like we alluded to in the first part of that, was how Jen Psaki and other White House officials have blatantly said, I can recall from memory a couple of times from the White House podium that Jen Psaki said, yeah, we've been talking to big tech about COVID misinformation and, you know, content on the platforms. And it was like, what? I mean, they're so confident in their ability to control the levers of access and what is allowed to be published and seen, but they're openly bragging about it. They're openly kind of pounding their chest to say, yep, we're policing quote-unquote misinformation online, and we, of course, know, you know, we've known for a long time, but now we know for sure, you know, that much of that misinformation is just stuff they disagree with.
Yep. All right. We've got a couple of minutes left here, so I want to squeeze everything in. And I just wanted to throw into the Brent Bozell poll. He said that if the laptop story wasn't suppressed, Trump would have won every swing state. He would have won North Carolina, Florida, Michigan, Nevada, Arizona, Wisconsin. So we don't have to go on there. I just wanted to say that. So people are, you know, like you're saying, the libs on libs on Twitter are saying, well, Joe Biden wasn't president in 2020. Okay, well, the FBI that spied on Trump's campaign were the government. Government doesn't necessarily mean the president, okay? They hated him anyway, and they tried everything they could do to not make him win that election. So it doesn't have to be the president. It can be the FBI, for God's sakes.
Right. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but there was also a lot of the federal agencies at the time during the election were kind of putting out statements and making, you know, putting out statements and saying things publicly to say that, oh, this actually could be Russian misinformation or whatever. So they're not blameless in this either. And then, of course, what happened, and you have big tech working directly with the Biden campaign. We know that as well from these tweets. So that's problematic. And then those people who were on the campaign, the Biden, you know, the whole Biden team comes into office and it all continues, right? We had people getting kicked off of platforms. We had information being censored. We had Psaki bragging about it. So they can't wriggle out of it by just saying, oh, well, Biden wasn't technically in the government at that time because he's not the only problem. He's not the only party to blame here.
Exactly. Excuse me. Also, and then we'll let you go, John. And we've said this a million times, too. As far as national security, I think this country is in so much trouble because if you remember, 51 intelligence officials said that the laptop was Russian disinformation. So there's only two things out of that. They're either lying or we have the worst intelligence agencies in the entire world and we're screwed.
Yeah, and I don't want to bag on the tens of thousands of great people who work in our defense.
This is 51 people. Brennan, Clapper, yeah, those guys.
There's a lot of great patriots that are doing stuff to keep us safe, but the people at the top have become so political, whether it's in DOD or some of the intelligence agencies or whatever it is, they've become so political that they've lost sight of their fundamental mission, which their own people under them are doing every day, which is to keep us safe. And that is undermining confidence in those agencies and those departments. And we're seeing that. You saw the poll last week. People are losing confidence in the U.S. military. And part of that, I think, is driven by how political the senior leaders in that military have become, despite the great work and the ground pounding that guys like, you know, when I was in the service, like we were doing on a daily basis. Those people don't get enough of the credit. And these people at the top are kind of undermining the work that they're doing every day.
All right, John, we kept you more than we deserve. We appreciate the extra time. Tell us about you, the Heritage Foundation, you on Twitter and social media.
Yeah, go to heritage.org. Check out Kara Frederick on heritage.org. She's been writing all about this big tech stuff, and Jake Denton as well. Check them out. You can find me on Twitter at the JCoop. But yeah, there's a lot more to come on the big tech story. I'll tell you that. We'll be tracking it.
Good, John Cooper. Thank you so much. We'll get an update from you next Monday.
Now get better, my friend.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I appreciate it. All right, coming up, more talk with this. Because first of all, I am going to talk about this a lot today because I need to get it off my chest. And I've already stood up once. I may stand up a couple of times today because I'm telling you, this thing made my blood boil and fired me the...
Yeah.
Up. Douglas
Blitz. Don't you cuss on this here right now.
I'm so sorry, Bandit. I'm so sorry.
You're going to hear a lot of that today, too.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Douglas Blair from Salem Media joined us at 1041. We will announce Ken and I's first winner in the Christmas Conservative Christmas Contest at about 10:05, somewhere around there. Virginia Cruder from The Daily Wire at 10:05. Also, Mark Mix, president of the National... Sorry, Ken.
It's all right.
I talk... The music's gone. President of the National Right to Work Committee. And coming up next, it's Kamala Lala on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
50 former national intelligence folks. who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plant. They have said that this is has all the five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage.
This is classic Trump. We have 4 days left, and all of a sudden, there's a laptop. There's overwhelming evidence that from the intelligence community that the Russians are engaged.
It's the last-ditch effort in this desperate campaign to smear me and my family. The vast majority of the intelligence people have come out and said there's no basis at all.
Well, he leaned on that one, didn't he?
Isn't that what they always do? It was the most secure election ever. Remember?
Not prove it. 51 people...
Remember the whole thing about the election? It was the safest, most secure election in history.
In history, yeah.
When they go too far, you know, it's the bluff in poker, Ken. If I'm bluffing you, I want to look strong. I want to sort of pound my chips down, or I say, yeah, come on, call me. You know,
let's go.
You know, the same thing. So the 50 intelligence agencies or officials really need new jobs because they're terrible at intelligence, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I joke about that, but it's true. We have the worst intelligence officials on the planet.
I agree with you that they're the worst, but I don't think it's because they're dumb. I think they're smart and they're devious.
No, Ken, you're right, but that's the other part of the dichotomy, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're either lying or they're the worst intelligence people ever. It's kind of my little joke where
right. They're
stuck. They're stuck being terrible intelligence officers, or they're lying. One or the other. There's no in between.
Right.
And as far as him getting on TV, that was during the debate with Trump when he said, what he's saying is garbage. Five former CIA directors said it was garbage. Well, my point is we were right. We were right.
Yeah. When you notice the very first one of these that he said, he was getting all mixed up. He was so, you know, forceful about it. He was getting himself confused a little bit, and he was stuttering over his words a bit.
What does Dan Bongino say? If you're telling the truth, you don't have to think about it.
Right.
If you're lying, you got to think about what you said. What am I supposed to say here? What's you know, the right answer if it's not the truthful answer? And that debate that night was full of lies, Ken.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how else to say it. This whole thing has been one big lie. And then they come up with the big lie, right? That was their thing to make Trump look bad. The big lie, right?
Well, guess what? The big lie is a lot of bullshit. That's what it is.
So what's the big lie? It's that story. That's what it is.
Yes.
Some lady on Twitter over the weekend, God, I retweeted so much stuff, I can't even find half of it. I was like, oh, I'll be able to find all the stuff. Right.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
I am. Oh, I just broke it. 3,000.
What'd you break?
3,000 followers.
On?
Twitter.
Us?
Me.
You.
Yeah, right. I don't know why. I just noticed that this weekend it was going to hit that.
Show off.
It's at 3,001.
Big show off. So this lady said, you know, Matt Taibbi's story doesn't say that there was anything illegal, or I can't remember what she said about that the laptop story is true, you know. So I retweeted her and I said, you know how I know it's true? Etstoy. That's how I know it's true.
Yeah, I got that one.
And it's crazy how that stupid little acronym we made comes up every single day. Because everything they say, the opposite is true.
And I want them, if they don't understand it, because they won't ask, what does that mean? I want them to go look for it.
Yeah, fine.
Go find it.
And even if they don't, I don't care. Because you know, and I know, and that's all counts.
Yeah.
But even, we talked about this last week, everything they do is an etstoit. Even the bills that they want to pass, right? The Inflation Reduction Act.
A lie.
The Respect of Marriage Act. The Affordable Care Act. Even, they got to be doing it on purpose. They have to have a meeting, Ken, and they say, all right, so nobody's going to believe that this is going to be affordable health care. So what do we call it? Well, how about the Affordable Care? Oh, how about the Affordable Care Act? You like a doctor? You can get, you know? Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Let's label it that.
We'll call it that. How about this Inflation Reduction Act? What should we call that? No. How about this act that's going to really make inflation get bigger? Let's call it the Inflation Reduction Act. Not that it was him. now I can't stop doing
now
Obama.
Now you're doing Obama.
I can't stop. But every single thing they do. Leslie Stahl. Sir. This is 60 Minutes. Well, what does that phrase mean now?
Nothing.
We're 60 Minutes. It was supposed to be this big, credible thing, right?
If I heard that now, I'd say, and?
Right.
Okay. Now what?
All right. Last thing I'll say. Because, by the way, this morning on the Today Show on NBC, out of this whole laptop story, out of this whole Matt Taibbi Twitter files thread, what do you think they focused on this morning?
I can't imagine it would be...
You know what it is. You know what it is.
Donald Trump.
Yes, of course. You know. And do we want to terminate the Constitution? No, of course not. It's not okay, though. And I wish I could remember who exactly said it, but it was a story, and a Democrat said, well, we'll have to go around the Constitution on this one. Does that ring a bell with you?
Yeah, who was that?
I don't know. It's my problem. I can't remember.
I want to say it was actually either Adam Schiff or...
somebody on the impeachment
mm-hmm.
committee?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
You'll have to go around the... And nobody said a word. The mainstream media never said a word.
No.
So Trump kind of misspeaks. You know, I'm not sure what he was trying to say, but I'm sure he wasn't saying just terminate the Constitution. How stupid are these people? But the point is, that was the entire focus of the entire weekend's events from NBC. Was that? Okay, enough of that. Before we get to Kamala Lala, I just have one quick phrase. Where in the world is Miguel Almaguer? Where is he?
We need to start making a list of days, how long he's been gone.
Like in jail with the hash marks, right?
Right.
Oh, my God. I wonder if they just killed him and buried him in the desert somewhere. All right. Kamala Lala time.
La, 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 you've got nothing to say.
So I will say what I know we all say, and I will say over and over again.
That's why we're here today, because we have the ability to see what can be, unburdened by what has been, and then to make the possible actually happen.
A friend in need is a friend indeed.
La, 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 you've got nothing to say. Come on, la, 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 please go away.
Kamala Lala time. You know, it's funny. We started, Ken and I were like, why don't we make fun of Kamala Harris more? What are we doing here? So we're going, let's do this Kamala Lala thing, you know? Okay, you know, the grassroots song and everything. And then it's hard to find stuff because they don't let her say anything because she's so stupid.
Yeah.
But we do have something. So, Ken, Kamala me.
France is a vital ally to the United States, and this visit demonstrates the strength of our partnership, our friendship, and our cooperation, and truly all as the background to an enduring relationship between the United States and France, and one that is based on shared democratic principles and values.
Uh-huh. That's why Macron is in bed with Klaus Schwab in his World Economic Forum.
Yeah.
That's why she likes him so much.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we squeeze one more quick one in?
Yeah.
All right. Ken Kamala me.
So it is an honor to be with everyone today.
God. Here we go.
And it goes without saying, every day, tribal leaders help America live up to our highest ideals.
It's the nation's tribal summit.
Indians?
Yeah.
Huh. You are the fighters for freedom, for justice, for equality. Your work is the work to ensure security and opportunity for all. You speak truth about our country's history.
Oh, here we go. 1619, right? Go ahead.
So that the lessons of our past can guide us.
Stop. Lessons of our past. That's when she's run out of brain cells.
Yeah, right.
They're all done.
Great.
Toward a better future.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you with deep thanks for your leadership and for your partnership.
So, the significance signifies that significance is something that signifies.
Right.
Okay. That's all the time we have.
It's very significant, though.
Very significant. That's all the time we have for Kamala.
Kamala, Kamala, you've got nothing to say. Kamala, la, 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 please go away.
Away, far away. Okay. Coming up at 10:05 this morning, we're going to canonize first winner on the 10-10, whatever it is, of our Christmas conservative Christmas contest.
Yeah, yeah.
Fun, yeah. Also, I got all out of order here. I'm so sorry. Douglas Blair from Salem Media will join us at 10:41. You know, Ken, I came in today strictly because of this Taibbi story and this Twitter story, but I really don't feel good. And you can feel it, can't you? Can't you feel it?
Well, a little bit, but you get a lot of energy, like Vic.
Brain cells are just...
Ample amounts of energy.
At a minimum. Virginia Cruder from the Daily Wire coming up at 10:05. And coming up next, National Right to Work Committee President Mark Mix on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome home.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on NewstalkSTL.com. You're listening to The Vic Porcelli Show.
My father's no different than any other powerful man. Like a senator or a president.
You know how naive you sound.
Why?
Senators and presidents don't have men killed.
Who's being naive, Kate?
On News Talk STL.
All right, welcome home. 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. I'm Vic Porcelli. He is Ken Williams over there.
Betting a thousand.
What do you mean?
Me.
Why, what's wrong?
Well, I mean, just, you know.
Douglas Blair from Salem Media is going to join us at 10:41. Our first winner in our conservative Christmas contest coming up at 10:05, 10:10, somewhere around there. V.A. Cruda from the Daily Wire at 10:05, exactly. And, you know, one thing I want to talk to Virginia about is she said to me, when I was talking about 2020, the election, and I didn't feel like it was free and fair and all that, she said, if we go back and litigate 2020, we won't win in 2024, 2022 or 2024. Well, you know, we didn't litigate it and we lost anyway. So now that we know everything we know, time to litigate. But we'll see what she says when she comes in at 10:05. That's V.A. Cruda I'm talking about from the Daily Wire. Right now, though, it's time to talk to the president of the National Right to Work Committee, a great friend of this show and contributor many times, Mark Mix. Mark, good morning. How are you, sir?
Well, Vic, I'm doing fine, and I just want to say how significant it is, the significance of you being here in your altered state of health there. So it's very significant that the significance that you're here.
But you know what it signifies? It signifies that the
what
significance.
What does it signify?
It signifies the significance of being ill is significant.
That is significant.
Yeah, I learned that right from Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
So, Mark, the last time we spoke, we talked about Buck, just to remind you. What's that, a piece of paper?
Yeah, Buck number one. Right. Yeah, it took you a minute to get it, Vic. That
did.
Bothered me. You were doing a whole skit for Cosby, and then you forgot Buck number one coming in. I started with that.
It's just so, it was so long ago. Mark, I used to memorize those albums. You know, Noah. Right.
Yeah. Right.
But I missed it. I'm sorry. I apologize. Get off my case. I don't feel good, okay?
Yeah. Well, that's why it's so significant that you know, the significance of all this.
Well, listen, if I were in the union, I guess I just would have called in sick.
And that would be significant. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I've been listening too long. Ken, congratulations on 3,000 followers.
Thank you.
I've been following. Yeah, okay.
So, anyway.
And there's nothing new to talk about anyway, right? Other than a rail strike being averted and, you know, all that good stuff.
Well, let's talk about the rail strike for a second, even though I led into the topic that says in my paper, unions hold Americans hostage to get more sick days. That's why I said about calling in sick.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that see, you're on top of all the significance of this. It's just amazing. That was the issue. We had a rail strike. It was a fairly interesting thing. I remember September 15th, Vic, you'll remember this, that Joe Biden stood in front of the American people, dropped the mic, and said the problem was solved, and that his people had been in a room for what was at least a couple of hours negotiating with both sides, and that we knew this was going to come back, and it did. And it was interesting because while the economy can't stand or couldn't brook the idea of the railway system being shut down and the impact of about $2 billion a day, what Congress tried to do was basically say, you know what, hey, we're just decide we're going to give you seven more sick days, as opposing what the Presidential Emergency Board said, what the union officials and the Class 1 carriers had negotiated prior to this in a tentative agreement. And I know the interesting story here is that four units of the 12 voted against the tentative agreement, but yet now it's been crammed down by Congress on those workers that said no. That's the problem with union monopoly, Vic, is the idea that individuals have to basically leave their rights and basically accept what, in this case, what Congress crams down on them. It's really an interesting story.
And not only that, but, Joe Biden, when he was, because Joe's got this problem, he can't keep his mouth shut about anything. And he's got to be, when he was on the campaign trail, he was the union, good paying union jobs. How many times did you hear him say that? Good paying union jobs. Day one, he gets rid of good paying union jobs by shutting down the XL Keystone pipeline. How does he still get credit for being the union president?
Well, he's really not, Vic. He's the president of the union bosses is what he is. And yeah, the difference, the disconnect between union officials and rank and file workers is growing wider and wider all the time. And this railroad strike is another example of that. I mean, the president said, well, I'm a pro-union guy, but I've got to cram this down on the union members because the union official said this is what we got to do. So it's an interesting situation. He's not about the worker. He's about the top echelons of the union movement. And that's where the political money comes from. That's where the payola comes from. And so that's who he supports.
Yeah. And when he, he just always seems to get his way, I guess, is what really bothers me. He gets his way more than anybody. He got away with saying, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. And he got away with that. If Donald Trump said something like that, and I hate to do that. I hate to, because, it's like so easy to do, but it's true. If Donald Trump said, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black, he would have been run out of town on a rail. No pun intended with the rail strike.
Well, that's right. And for those operating engineers that were working on the Keystone Pipeline that you mentioned, I mean, the union officials endorsed his candidacy, spent PAC money on electing him to office. And 7 days later, the rank and file workers who contributed to that PAC, most likely, are out of work. I mean, that was the best example. I think it came right out of the chute. And there's been many, many more since he's been in office for how long now? I mean, I don't even know. It's too long. It's getting hard to keep track.
777 days till he's gone, though. We have a guy who keeps track of that for us in our chat box. But
yeah,
when Donald Trump was running for election in 2016, he told a story about a snake, a woman and a snake. And the snake was injured. And the woman took the snake, brought the snake into her house, nursed it back to health. And then the snake bit her. And she says, well, why did you bite me? I nursed you back to health. He said, that's what I do. And that snake is Joe Biden.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, no one wants to remember the past. He doesn't want to remember the votes that he cast and the things that he said. And I mean, now it gets to be a situation where it's almost daily, but it really is interesting. He has played politics well. He's been in it for a long, long time. He's been enriched by it. It's be growing more clear as we start to see some of the things that are coming out of other media outlets that he was enriched by it. But for us at Right to Work, the most important thing is that he really is in favor of forced unionism. He has no respect for the individual rank and file worker that he talks about so much, because the one thing he wants to do is force them to pay union dues in order to get or keep a job. And when they talk about repealing all the right to work laws in the country, the 27 states that have them, I mean, that's simply a function of saying, okay, the one policy that we have that we think will help the economy is to force people to pay a private organization organization for the right to work. And there's not one individual employee anywhere in the country, especially in the 27 states that have right to work laws, that are stopped from joining a union. There's not one worker that can't join a union if they want to. There's not one worker that can't give their entire paycheck to a union if they choose to do so. They just can't be forced. And that seems to me to be a decent policy, the right policy, and one that Joe Biden and his colleagues reject because it doesn't translate into political power and political money.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're a union guy and you pay your union dues, I mean, it's so unfair to people who, you know, let's say if you have a conservative guy who happens to be in the union, right? And he joins a union, he pays his dues, and then he sees all the union dues money go to Democratic candidates and causes and issues that he doesn't believe in. What's a guy to do? I mean, you know, lose his job? I mean, it's such a hard position for a conservative union guy to be in.
Yeah, that's right. In order to maintain your ideological and political rights, you have to forfeit your workplace rights. In order to keep your workplace rights, you have to forfeit your ideological and political rights. It doesn't make any sense. And the reason why it doesn't make any sense is because just almost 100 years ago now, we have a federal labor policy that contemplates the notion that a private organization can force you to pay them in order to work. That policy can't work. It won't work. It does work in the meantime as the political power of the unions is maintained by, you know, the money and by the forced dues that they're able to collect and put and spend on the political process. But the reason why they have to be so active in politics, Vic and Ken, is because their power is a derivative of government action as opposed to selling a product to consumers, i.e. workers, who would want to have their voice amplified but would do it voluntarily as opposed to force.
You know, and there are private sector unions and clearly, you know, government unions. I remember the post office was a union job when I was there. I mean, it's just spread anywhere. Quick story about that, if you don't mind. I was a young kid when I got a job as a letter carrier in the United States Postal Service, right? I was like, this is great. I'm going to be set for life, right? And had I stayed, I would be retired with a pension right now, but I wanted to get into radio, you know. I quit that. But the point is, my first day on the job, who's right next to me in the case, right next to me, the shop steward of the union, right? I can still picture his face. I can't see his name, but I can picture his face. And the supervisor comes over and goes, all this has to go. There was like tubs and tubs of, you know, junk mail. Yeah, all this has to go. And I'm like, okay, you know, it's first day on the job. What do you do, you know? So the shop steward goes, no, don't, never say okay. Never say yes. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, I felt like the shop steward was trying to get me in trouble, you know, my first day on the job. So to say, you know what I'm saying?
Well, we have lots of employees that call in that we help through our National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation who have a similar experience where basically they're eager to go to work and they get a tap on the shoulder after a couple of days of doing, you know, productive work and being energetic and being excited about their work. And the tap on the shoulder comes from someone saying, hey, slow down. You're making us all look bad here. That's not a formula for successful business. It's not a formula for successful employment. It's not a formula for really successful anything.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Right to work, legal, what? I think people need to know about this.
Yeah, our Legal Defense Foundation.
That's our
Legal Defense Foundation. We present free legal services to employees whose rights have been violated. In fact, many of the Supreme Court cases about the issues we're talking about are cases we've argued. We did get protection for every government employee in America from being forced to pay fees in order to work for their government in a case we won back in 2018 at the U.S. Supreme Court called Janus v. AFSCME. And so any employee, whether it be a teacher or a firefighter or a police officer, anyone who feels like they don't want to give up their workplace rights in order to protect their political and ideological rights, they can tell the union and tell their employer at the state, at the government level, saying, you can't force me to pay anything, because everything that government unions do, Vic, to your point, is political by nature. They're redressing government for, you know, the allocation of government resources. And so that's political speech, and it's protected by the First Amendment. So big case that we won there, and protection. That is a right to work law for all government employees across the United States.
So, Mark, if somebody's listening right now and they need the benefit of the Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation, how do they find that?
They can find us on that amazing internet at nrtw.org, or they can call 1-800-336-3600 and talk to an attorney, and we provide free legal services when it comes to questions about their workplace rights.
All right, Mark Mix, always great conversation, man. National Right to Work Committee president. Tell us a little bit about the Right to Work website and where we can find that and more information.
Yeah, the foundation was nrtw.org, and the committee where we track legislation across the country and in Congress, they can find us there at nrtwc.org. And I came up with this thing that you and Ken might be interested in. It's called Estoit. You know, everything they say is the opposite of what is true. I just was thinking about that.
Is that your thing?
You know,
that's
I'd share that with Vic.
It's pretty awesome.
And that's a pretty, we're going to steal that.
Isn't that awesome?
Can we steal that Estoit thing? That's pretty good.
Yeah, all right. All right.
Listen.
Thank you, Vic. I hope you feel better. And Ken, you know, let's shoot for 6,000.
Okay. I will. And right? I am now reconnected online. What's your handle? On Twitter.
I don't think I have one. I think it's like, I don't tweet, so I don't know what that would be. But with the foundation and the committee both have Twitter accounts, so I'm sure it's probably Right to Work or whatever that
is. Yeah, it is. It's actually at Right, number two, Work.
Okay. Thank you. I'm glad you know that. You can follow us if you want, Ken. That'd be great.
I did already.
Junior Barnes hit me in the side of the face with a slush
old
ball.
Julie Barnes. Yeah, old Julie Barnes. And that slush went through my 5-pair of corduroy. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay.
He kept it in the freezer until the summer. Oh, my God. All right. Mark, always great talking to you, man. Let's talk again soon.
All right, Vic. Thank you. Get well.
Take care, Mark.
Thank you. He's funny, man.
Yeah, he remembers. He's got a lot of
listens
a lot
of time.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, and he's probably in DC or something like that.
So listen, Elon Musk,
yeah,
is fearing for his safety right now.
I would be too if I were him. He should have a very, very solid security detail right
now. He says that assassination is a significant risk.
He said he's not going to kill himself.
So, Ken, what have we learned since Friday? And why did they do this on Friday so we had to wait all weekend? But one thing we've learned about this whole thing is why everyone on the left was so afraid of him taking over Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
It all makes sense now,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir, it does.
Before we knew about this Matt Taibbi and the Twitter files and all that, you know, Elon Musk can't take over Twitter. Well, why not? Because it's devastating to my career.
And we're going to find out more this week, apparently, too.
Yeah, more stuff coming. We'll keep you up on it if my blood pressure holds out, okay? Virginia Cruda, our first winner in the Christmas contest coming up, and Doug Blair from Salem Media, all next hour. Right now, a couple of minutes out for news, and then we're back with hour number two on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome home.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.